This is the Podcacher Podcast,
a podcast all about geocaching.
This is show number 6.
Welcome to the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to another show. We've got a great one lined up for you tonight, and I'd like to welcome all our new listeners who might have just joined us. This is a podcast all about geocaching.
For information and show notes, go to podcacher.com and contact us at email@podcacher.com or give us a ring at 206-984-1020.
This is a special edition Podcacher podcast to introduce you to geocaching if you're new to this activity. We're hoping that podcacher.com is a place to bring podcasting and geocaching together, so you may be more familiar with one and not the other. So today, Sandy's going to explain a little bit about geocaching, and in another special edition, I'll talk in more detail about podcasting and subscribing. So for tonight, here's Sandy.
Thank you, sweetie. Let's start with what is geocaching if you've never done it before. It's an adventure game that's a lot like treasure hunting with a GPS. That's a global positioning system receiver. Basically, someone hides a container of treasure called a cache. They take a position reading with their GPS. Then they post the coordinates on a website, geocaching.com. Then someone else looks at the website, gets the coordinates, and uses their GPS to find the treasure. They open it up, sign the login side, take a trinket and leave one there if they want to, close it up and hide it back where they found it. Then they go back to the website and log that they found the cache. That's it. Of course, there are some variations on this theme, but that's the basic idea. It's free and anyone can play. There are currently over 180,000 caches hidden in 216 countries. There are just two rules. If you take something from the cache, you need to leave something, and you're asked to write about your visit in the logbook. Geocaching got its start in the year 2000 when restrictions on personal use of satellite technology were lifted. Someone in Oregon got the idea to hide a cache, and a few days later, someone found it. And that was the start. My own experience with geocaching started on my first date with my husband, Sonny. My sister-in-law was trying to set us up and had invited him over for dinner to meet me. He politely declined.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be kind of awkward to be sitting there trying to talk to somebody over a table and I didn't know her and stuff. So I went geek and decided to invite her to go geocaching.
So he suggested this thing called geocaching. I think he figured if the date was a bust, at least he'd have fun finding a couple of caches. Well, as you can tell, the date went quite well. And by the end of the day, there was another geocaching convert. I like geocaching for a lot of reasons. It's fairly inexpensive once you have the GPS, and even that can be less than $100. It gets us out into the outdoors, enjoying nature and getting exercise. It's a great fun way to spend time with my husband. It can be tailored to all ages and abilities, from small children to diehard mountain climbers. It can be mentally and physically challenging. You can do it completely for fun, or you can get caught up in friendly competition of trying to be the first to find a cache or trying to increase the total number of caches you found. You know, and it's something fun you can do no matter where you go in the world. Sonny always takes his GPS on business trips and tries to do some geocaching in the cities he visits. Together, we've gone caching all over California, done some in Minnesota, in Florida, in Hawaii, that was on our honeymoon, in Amsterdam, and Kazakhstan. Yes, there are 5 caches in Kazakhstan. The website geocaching.com makes it easy to find caches that are hidden close to you. You can search by zip code if you live in the US or by country. You just type in your zip code and you will be amazed at the treasure that's all around you that you weren't even aware of. And check out their website for a lot of great information. From deciding what kind of GPS to buy to learning how to hide your own cache, you can also find out about events in your area, you can purchase geocaching gear, check out pictures and logs from other geocachers, and much more. You know, as we've talked to fellow geocachers, one common experience that we've heard over and over is that people who've lived in an area their whole lives have been brought to places that they never even knew existed because of geocaching. I know Sonny and I have discovered new trails, hidden parks, beautiful views, and just some interesting and unique sites, places we never would have visited if it hadn't been for hunting down a cache. It's just a great opportunity to get to know your city and your surrounding area in a whole new way. Another neat thing about geocaching is being able to meet so many great people. It really fosters a community feel, and a lot of local groups have been formed around this activity. I know in San Diego we've had pizza parties, picnics, people have organized happy hours, trash cleanup events, and there's a really active online discussion forum. And these same things are repeated in communities across the country and the world. You know, I just looked at the website, and there are upcoming events happening in Germany, New York, Texas, Tennessee, and even the Yukon Territory. There's probably something happening near you. And if not, you know what? You can start your own. Besides meeting people at the geocaching events, we've also run into fellow geocachers while out hunting for a cache. It's really fun to find out their geocaching name, the name they use on geocaching.com, and realize that we've heard of them online and we've seen some of their logs before. So what might you expect to find in a typical cache? Well, that depends. You'll always find a logbook of some sort, and normally a pen or pencil, but after that it really varies widely and depends on the size of the cache container. Normally, though, you'll find small toys and trinkets like keychains, balls, stickers, little toy figures, magnets, just about anything. Some caches have a certain theme and they want you to stick to that theme, like something bicycle related or stuffed animals or anything that's gold colored. You know, Sonny once found a $20 bill in a cache, but he was the first to find after a 6-mile hike, and just so you know, that is not typical. The best thing I ever found was a diamond engagement ring, but I think that's a story for another time. There are a lot of great sites about geocaching out there, and we'll post a few for you in our show notes. So if you have never gone geocaching, hopefully, by now, you're anxious to get out and try it. If you're still not sure you want to invest in a GPS, ask around. Odds are good that one of your friends already has one. Just convince them to take you geocaching. And if not, most stores have a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can get a GPS and try it out. But I can almost guarantee that you won't be returning it. Maybe we'll run into you out there someday.
Thanks, honey. That was really informative. Well, that's it for our show today on this special edition of our Podcacher podcast. We hope you'll join us again. And until then, just
keep on caching.